Amen, Brother Terry Pace. Praise God, he's no stranger to us. Amen. You remind me, standing while he comes, preach us to our hearts tonight. I love this preacher man.
Thank you, Brother Ken. If you have your Bibles tonight, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 25, book of Genesis chapter number 25, I'm interested to begin reading tonight with verse 29. Genesis chapter 25, verse number 29, we'll read the remaining part of the chapter, and I appreciate the privilege to be here, and let me say, before I even read tonight, we appreciate the folks here, the sacrifice and the service to make this meeting and toward us, and appreciate the place to stay and that you do to try to help us, and we appreciate it greatly, and we thank you for it, church, and Brother Ken. What a blessing, and good to hear the preaching last night, being the service this morning. And I do need your prayers tonight. The Lord would touch me and help me tonight. Cannot do anything without the Lord's touch and His help. So I ask humbly and sincerely for your prayers. The Lord would speak to us and through us tonight. Verse 29 of Genesis chapter 25. The Bible reads, "And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Father, we love you because you first loved us. We bow humbly in your presence tonight to ask you to help us. We pray, dear Lord, that you'd have mercy. Lord, in this moment, I pray you'd cleanse us from anything and everything would hinder the working of the Spirit of God. I pray you'd breathe on us afresh and anew. I'd ask you to enable us, empower us, permit us to preach, give us physical strength in our body and in our voice tonight. Give us spiritual strength in the inward man that we can proclaim the truths that are in this Bible tonight. May the Word of God go forth from these lips of clay. The power of the demonstration of the Spirit of God. May the Word of God find lodging in the hearts and lives of those that are here tonight. Awaken sinners to you tonight. Convict and draw them. May this be the hour they turn from sin, Satan, and self and look to the Savior and be saved tonight. May you stir the heart of the saint. Oh Lord, may our Lord, that those that need to be reproved would be reproved. Those that need to be encouraged, encourage. Those that need to be strengthened, strengthen tonight. And may we leave here better. May we leave here drawn closer to you tonight. Have your way in every heart and every life. I pray that every soul would be subject to the power of God and obedient to the Holy Spirit. Above everything, may your name be magnified and glorified among us tonight. And Lord, what you're pleased and privileged to do in and through and for us, we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask everything in Jesus' lovely name. Amen and amen. I call your attention to this passage tonight in verse number 32. When Esau said to Jacob, behold, I am at the point to die. I want to preach on that little phrase if I can tonight. At the point. At the point. Esau said to Jacob, I'm at that point now. I'm at that place. I'm at that precipice. I'm at that crossroads. I'm at that position in my life. I wonder tonight in this congregation, is there folks here that could say, as Esau did, I am at the point. A turning point. A deadline, a crossroads tonight, a cliff, a precipice tonight, a place that from here on out, things will not be as they have been before tonight. Oh, at the point. Reminds you that three times in our King James Bible is that phrase, at the point. And every time when it's mentioned at the point, as it was with Esau, at the point to die, the other two places it says, at the point of death. At the point of death. None of us tonight know if we could be at that point tonight. Oh, I know if that person in the nursing home or in the hospital, that convalescent at home tonight, where hospice is there, and many of us could say they're at the point, but oh, there could be those sitting in these pews tonight, and you and I could be at that point tonight. For there's just one step between us and death tonight. All of us are just one heartbeat away from eternity tonight. What is our life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And it is an appointment that we'll all have to face. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And oh, tonight, there is no discharge in that war tonight. When your time comes, it, my friend, there's no getting out or away from it tonight. And if it is now, if it is tonight, if it is before this service was to close, are you ready? Are you prepared? Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God tonight? Amen. At the point. Esau said to Jacob, I am at the point to die. Now you and I both know by reading this text tonight and others and this story tonight that what Esau thought, what he felt, what he said was not true. Amen. He was not at the point to die. But yet because of his flesh, because of the type of man that he was, because of his lustful nature, because, my friend, that the kind of individual that he was, he, my friend, felt like that this was it. Simply because, my friend, he was a man given to that fleshly appetite. Hey, God, and if that appetite could not be satisfied, he said, I'm at the point of death. Amen. At the point tonight. Oh, God, help us. Are you at the point? I'm going to say tonight he was really not at the point to die, but he was at the point of folly. He was at the point of failure tonight. Amen. He was at the point that what he did here, how that seemed so innocent, how that seemed so carefree, how that seemed so easily to do, hey, God would hold him in the days to come, and he could not go back and undo what happened right here in this text. Amen. At the point. So he is at the point of folly. I want to preach that tonight. Or at the point of failure tonight. The Bible tells us in our text, amen, that Jacob is sod pottage. He's simply boiling some lentils. Amen. He's a plain man, is Jacob. And as he's boiling those lentils, amen, here comes Esau, the Bible said, from the field. Now, Esau has been used to being in the field. Esau was the type of man, the Bible said, he was a cunning hunter. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Many times Esau
Thank God had went to the field and brought back that wild meat, brought back that game, brought back that fresh meat. Thank God that he indulged in, that he loved, amen. But on this particular day, my friend, as he hunted, though he was a cunning hunter, he came back from the field without anything. I'll remind you tonight, according to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38, Jesus said the field is the world. Irregardless of how cunning you are, irregardless of how, thank God, you have dealt, my friend, in the world in the days gone by, there'll come the time, there'll come the day in your life that you'll search and go through the field and come back empty-handed. Come back, my friend, without anything to show for your hunting, thank God, and for your cunning. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Oh, the world satisfies just for a season. There's pleasure in sin just for a season. But then it turns, hey God, and the payment becomes due. And the wages of sin is death. Are y'all hearing me? And all the misery and all the emptiness and my friend, the faintness that sin places in our lives. And that's what happened with Esau. Amen. Oh, hear me tonight. He's in the world. He's in the field. But he comes back empty-handed. Oh, has it come to you that no longer the things that you have I sought for and hunted after and indulged in, all of a sudden they're empty to you. They have no fulfillment. They have no satisfaction. Somebody said, oh, preacher, you're almost talking like you're glad and you're wishing that on people tonight. I am, hallelujah. Until you get to that point, you can never be saved. Oh, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So here's Esau. He's been in the field. He comes from the field. And the Bible said also in verse number 29, he came from the field and he was faint. He was faint. That meant he was weary. That meant he was languid. That meant he was thirsty. Was Esau. Amen. Oh my, and smelling that red pottage, smelling those lentils, smelling that soup, amen, smelling that meal that Jacob had, though it wasn't what he was used to, though it was not the meat that he normally put in his mouth, hey God, he realized how faint he was, how hungry he was, how thirsty he was, how weary he was, how empty he was. Amen. He was faint. I don't know if I can tonight. It seems to be going twofold, running two tracks tonight in my mind, this message. I don't know if I can run both tracks the same time. I know the train tracks double and does. I don't know if I can. God help me, I hope I can. But can I say this message about Esau is first a warning to sinners tonight, but it's also an admonition to saints. Amen. Are y'all hearing me? Thank God. And may I remind you, saint, thank God, you'll never find anything out yonder in that world that'll satisfy. Oh my. Thank God. Oh my. Oh, help us tonight. And may I remind you, we are at the point of folly and failure in our life when we become faint. Oh, what faintness among the people of God. What weariness of mind among the people of God tonight. And when you're in that state, we are susceptible. We are very vulnerable. My friend, for Satan to tempt us and for us to fail of the grace of God. For us, hear me tonight. My friend, to commit folly and failure. And to despise the very things that's been given to us by the Lord Himself. Help my soul, Lord. Amen. There's a lot of things that can make you faint as a child of God. Amen. Oh my. Hebrews 12:3 reminded us to consider, thank God, him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. The Hebrew writer is saying to the Hebrews, thank God, I know you're facing opposition. I know you're facing opposition against your own person because you're believers and you've committed yourself out of Christ. But he said, don't stop, amen. Hey, God, or don't let it hinder you. I'll make you become weary and faint in your mind because you are opposed in your person by the contradiction of sinners. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to go looking for contradiction. You don't have to go looking for gainsaying. You don't have to go looking for opposition simply because you name the name of Christ. Simply because they all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer a persecution. Amen. Thank God. And we're past the days when the community brags on old time Christians and the man of God and the church. How we become a byword and a curse word. Hey, are y'all hearing me? Hey God, oh, and we're looked down on instead of being looked up to. So we might as well get ready in these days, hallelujah, as they oppose Christ, that is the sinners, against himself. They couldn't oppose his works. He never done nothing but good. How could they oppose him for healing sick folks, raising dead folks, feeding hungry folks? But nothing wrong with his works. But when he claimed to be the Son of God, they said there's something wrong with you. Are y'all hearing me? And from the time he was a child, he got a young man in Nazareth till the time he drew his last breath at Calvary. The world opposed him. Sinners gainsaid him. And the Bible said we'll face the same thing. But consider him. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So if you consider him, hey God, don't let it make you weary and faint when they oppose you. Amen. Oh God, help us tonight. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll faint because of the opposition of sinners. Amen. Sometimes we'll faint because we're rebuked of him. Hallelujah. Again, Hebrews 12, verse number 5. Faint not when thou art rebuked of him. Speaking of Christ. Speaking of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Why won't you faint when you're rebuked of him? Because that's a proof of your sonship. Hallelujah. For if you're without chastisement, you're bastards and not sons. Thank God, he chastened every son whom he receiveth, and every son that he loves, he scourges him. So when he lays the lash to you, when he lays the whip to you, I don't say, oh, I'm faint, I'm weary, I'm going to give up. Don't be faint then. I don't listen to what Satan says. Woo! Thank God, find your place in the dust and say, Lord, I appreciate the fact you're still looking after me and you've not left me to myself. me to my sin and left me to my flesh. But you're seeing after me. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for showing me where I went wrong. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh my. I think I said this. I don't know if some of you were there. Not all of you, but some of you were. Amen. I don't know when preaching this text, but I said something about chastening or rebuking or scourging. Hallelujah. I remember what old Brother Earl Hughes said. Amen. He said, I learned how when Daddy took that I back to a belt. And he said, when I got out yonder a good ways from him, and he could throw the full length of that belt on me, it hurt worse. Hallelujah. But he said, I learned the closer I got up to Daddy. Thank God. The more I got closer to him, he didn't have as much reach. He still hit me, but it didn't hurt near as bad. How y'all hearing me? Oh my. And he said, I've learned when the Lord begins to deal with me, I just snuggle up close to him and say, pour it on me, Lord. I need it, Lord. You're right for correcting me. I've been wrong and I love you. Anybody hearing me? Don't faint when you're rebuked of him. Amen. And then there's a danger of fainting just doing what's right. Amen. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Amen. Hallelujah. If doing well was not weary, thank God. If it's not ho-hum, amen. If it's not monotonous, if there is no fanfare most of the time, and no glory, he wouldn't have said, let us not be weary in well-doing. You always won't get a pat on the back. Hallelujah. You always even won't get the Holy Ghost or a blessing of God to touch it just because you've done right. Hallelujah. Woo, amen. Look like every time Joseph did right, thank God he got worse shape instead of better. But there come a day when doing well paid off. And there'll come a day, thank God, if you'll just keep sowing, thank God, you'll reap. Hallelujah. Thank God, just keep sowing to the Spirit. Just keep doing what God told you to do. And there'll be a day, thank God, that you'll reap if you faint not. Hallelujah. Don't turn to folly. Don't turn to failure. Don't when you're weak and weary and faint from the labor. Let Satan tempt you how to take the wrong thing tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. Hallelujah. Oh. Paul told the church at Corinth to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Oh my. So he's faint, as Esau. And in his faintness, he says to Jacob in verse number 30, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. I can't have that meat. I can't have that wild venison. I can't have those game birds. I'll gladly take that pottage. Feed me, because I am weary. I am thirsty. I am faint. Amen. I'll just take what's there. Amen. Be careful when you faint that you don't let the smell of what's cooking on the fire cause you to throw in the towel. Turn to folly. Amen. Give up what God has told you ain't got to do and where God has told you to be. Thank God. And fail the Lord. Is anybody listening to the preacher tonight? Feed me. I almost look at the text. I guess you can look at it two ways. Feed me, that is, will you give me some of it? But it almost appears that he says, I'm so faint, you're going to have to put it in my mouth. Amen. You're going to have to literally, hey God, I with your hand, give it to me. I'm that faint. Hallelujah. Oh my. Feed me that same red pottage. That pottage. That red pottage. He's called Edom. Amen. Thank God. Which means red. Oh, I want it. Thank God. I must have it. Thank God. And I will die. I'm at the point of death if I don't get it. And some of you tonight that you're so desperately desiring and wanting tonight is the very thing that's going to be your downfall and your folly and your failure tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Amen. And God will allow you, if you desire it enough, if you thirst after enough, if you hunger for it enough, if your flesh desires it enough, if you feel faint enough, if you make up your mind enough, God, I will allow you to have it. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Amen. As a matter of fact, God may even say, go ahead. And give you your request, but he'll send leanness into your soul tonight. Is anybody listening to the preacher tonight? Feed me, he said. Amen. And then in verse 31, Jacob says to Esau, thank God, if you're at the point of death and you want some of this pottage that I've cooked, that I've prepared, that I've sawed, he said, thank God. Oh, he said, thank God, sell me thy birthright. And so he's asking Esau to forfeit his namesake, forfeit his position, forfeit what providence has blessed him with. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh my. He's the firstborn, and simply by being the firstborn, thank God, he had the right, am I feeling, of the firstborn. Amen. That was, first of all, a double portion of everything, thank God, that belonged unto Isaac. Amen. Every child got a portion, but the firstborn got a double portion of what every other child got. And the firstborn, thank God, and my friend, was also considered after the death of the father. Thank God, the firstborn was then considered the priest of the family. Amen. Oh, he could bless the family. Thank God, intercede to God for the family. Anybody hearing me? And most importantly, thank God, in this Abrahamic line that Esau found himself in, he was in line, thank God, to be my friend, part of those of the lineage of the Messiah and the Christ that was to come. Amen. Oh my. Oh my. Isn't it amazing when we become weary and faint, thank God, that we forget all about that we ought to bring forth Christ in our lives tonight. Amen. So he said, forfeit or sell this day thy birthright. Amen. I wonder tonight, as a sinner, what you would sell out, your opportunity, your invitation, your open door, the call of God upon you, ought to be saved tonight. I wonder what you'd sell that for tonight. I wonder what you'd forfeit that for tonight. I wonder what you'd place more value than the call of the repentance and the call of salvation. What you'd place higher than that tonight. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? And yet here you sit tonight, and instead of responding to the call of God and the will of the Spirit, instead of eagerly and quickly laying hold on the hope set before you, instead of running up for refuge tonight, instead of getting to Christ and being saved tonight, you are looking, God, at something tonight that you value higher than the call that God has given you to come and be saved tonight. Oh, don't do despite the Spirit of grace tonight. Don't harden your heart against the call of God tonight. Don't smell the red pottage tonight and say, that's enough, I'm faint, I'll take that. Oh, God, help you tonight. You'll realize there's something of far more eternal value than anything this world has to offer tonight. Dear saint, are you at that point tonight? That point of failure that you'll fail the grace of God and be willing to forfeit the blessings, the birthright, oh my, of the Lord tonight in your life. Amen. Oh my. Some have traded what's eternal for what's temporal. Some have traded what's spiritual simply for what's physical. Some have traded for pottage and turned away the promise. Here's Esau. And Jacob says, well, if it's no value, if you're at the point to die, swear to me. And he said, if I'm at the point of die, what good is this birthright? He'd heard it all of his life, but evidently he'd been raised around and knew what it meant. But evidently, as the days went, he'd become so familiar with it that it really meant nothing to him. And what he's seen in the world and what he could have in the world held more value to him than that bloodline that he came through. What's more valuable to you tonight? What's more important to you tonight? Your eternity-bound soul tonight. Oh, Lord. Oh, tonight, what's more important than where you're going to spend eternity? Oh my, oh my. Oh, don't forfeit tonight God's call on your life, God's invitation, the Spirit wooing tonight. Do what you know you ought to. Respond to the call of God. Repent before you perish. Turn before it's too late tonight. Come while you have time and opportunity tonight. You're at the point. You're at the point. You're at the point. I think Esau had smelled red pottage before, tasted red pottage before. Are you hearing me? But he never was at this point that he was willing to forfeit his birthright just to get some pottage. But he was faint. He was faint. Oh my. Can I say this tonight? Oh my. This is a warning to sinners tonight. It's also a admonition to saints. And when we read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17, the apostle said to the Hebrew believers, "Oh, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." I remind you, dear saints, tonight there are some eternal rewards. There are some eternal blessings tonight. There are some things that await your future tonight, that if you become too faint and weary tonight, that you're willing, oh my, to sell your birthright, that is, to despise the birthright tonight, to look upon it as, ain't God not as important as this? Oh my. Oh my, that there'll come a day you'd love to have that opportunity again. You'd love to have that blessing. Hey God, that was already yours and in your hand, but you forfeited it. Amen. You literally, hey God, for a few moments of pleasure, for a few moments of satisfaction in this world, you sold out of those eternal blessings. Oh, just to be satisfied temporarily, just to pacify and satisfy of the flesh. Oh, the appetite of the flesh tonight. Amen. And you and I both know, sitting here tonight, that there's been those that sit among us in these meetings and in others tonight that are exactly at that place tonight. I personally do not believe that the ones he's talking to in Hebrews 12 were sinners, but they were holy brethren. And he was talking to them about their eternal rewards, their patiently enduring until they obtain the promise, amen, of them becoming weary and faint and departing from that that they had come to. And instead of embracing it and finishing their course with joy and completing, thank God, and running the race and fighting the fight to the end, thank God, they fainted and they forfeited and they failed of the grace of God. Y'all hearing me tonight? Are you listening? I'm through tonight, but before I close, can we look tonight at Esau not only the fact that he forfeited his birthright, but Hebrews said he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There are some things you never can get back. Are y'all listening to me tonight? And in Genesis chapter 7 or 27, we read where he sought it carefully with tears, but there was no place of repentance. Hear Esau! Can you hear Esau tonight? After he walks in and Jacob has already come and got his blessing and Isaac has blessed him, and Esau brings in that meat that Isaac loves, and that new blind man, hey, God says, "Who is it?" And Esau says, "It's me." And he says, "Well, I tremble. You've done been here." He said, "No, I'm just now arriving." And he realizes Jacob has got his birthright and now his blessing. And Isaac says, "I have blessed him and he shall be blessed." And in verse 34, Esau cries with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father." Do you hear that bitter cry tonight? You hear that great and exceeding bitter cry tonight? Bless me! Oh! Bless me, my father! But it all went back to that day when he took that red pottage when he was at the point of death and let Jacob feed him and swore to him, thank God, and just wiped his mouth, thank God. And the Bible said went his way as though it was nothing, as though it was not important. And the Bible said he despised his birthright. He became irreverent towards his birthright. Oh my, the second time is in verse 38. And Esau says, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also. Oh my father. We've been told before that to cry, oh, is the deepest emotion that comes from the soul. I've seen saints rejoice, say glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, and weep and cry, and yet get still so full that all those words didn't seem to express what is coming out of their soul. And they just finally say, oh. How many times they hear Brother Raymond Cook say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that's within me, bless his holy name. And then I've been by those that stood at the side of that precious loved one that had passed. And they've wept and they've cried. And they've said and expressed words. And all of a sudden, after all the words have been said, and yet their heart's still breaking, and there's an emotion coming out of them, they stand there and say, oh, oh, oh. Sinner, don't be the one that in hell lifts up your eyes and cries, oh, oh, my father. Can you hear the rich man saying, oh, I don't think he said it in a timid voice or in a soft voice, Father Abraham, and all sinners you die lost, and you die without God, and you keep going and you see it, and lift your eyes in the charred walls of hell. Oh, you cry, oh, my Father. But see, it's too late. There's no place of repentance. Are there saints here tonight that down the road, because of what you may forfeit, you will cry, oh, my Father, bless me. When you get to the end of life, will you cry, oh, bless me? Or when you stand at the judgment seat and you realize what you forfeited, what you could have had, but you sold out for a bunch of red pottage, a morsel of meat. Oh my. Hey God, will you cry? Oh, my Father. How is it with you tonight? You see, Esau said it's final. I'm at the point to die. And he didn't know how final it was. He thought he's at the point of physical death. He didn't realize he's at the point of spiritual death. Where are you tonight? Are you at the point? Are you at that precipice? Are you at the place? Are you at the end? Are you at the crossroads? Oh, tonight, don't fail. Don't forfeit. Go with God. Obey the voice of God. Cling to your birthright tonight. Don't sell out for a mess of pottage, a morsel of meat tonight. Don't despise your birthright tonight. Sinner, get right. Get saved. Obey God. Say, move toward Him tonight. Draw nigh to Him. Let Him have His way. Turn aside the offering of the world and Satan in the flesh tonight. You're at the point. Let's stand, please.